All right, everybody go to Mark chapter 1. Y'all there? Mark chapter 1. We've been talking about this subject of Ghostbusters, and we've been looking at demonic activity specifically in the lives of believers and in the church. Is it possible for demons to attack believers? Now look at me. I've already taught you this. We do not believe that Christians can be demon-possessed. Right? We don't believe Christians can be demons. Brother Adam, could you shut that off back there, whatever that buzz is? We don't believe Christians can be demon possessed. We do believe Christians can be demonized. And demonized means that spirits, they've opened a doorway and spirits can attack them. Right? Either way, you need to be delivered from it. Either way, Jesus paid for you to be free from it. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Lord wants you to be free. So what I want to do today is I want to do something very unusual. I'm going to do some wild teaching today, something very unusual concerning demonic activity in the lives of the believers. But let me go back to this scripture and remind you, Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. Here's a man in church. And our question has been, this man being a Jew, being in the synagogue, probably was there all of his life from the age of 12 upward. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he was there, but the Bible does tell us he's not a kid anymore. He's a man. So he's been in church. How long has this man been able to sit in church tormented by demon spirits? And how is it possible that a person can go to church, sat under the presence of God, and be tormented by demon spirits? Obviously, it's possible because this man wasn't just tormented, he was possessed with devils. So notice here, the Bible says he cried out saying, "Let us alone." He didn't have just one demon. He had many demons in him. So again, here we have a man who's demon-possessed. Here we have a man who has many demons. And the questionable thing is why or how is he able to sit in church all these years? And here's the bigger elephant in the room. How is he able to sit in church all these years and never have a manifestation? How is it possible that the atmosphere of the church that he's in is so compromised that it doesn't stir up those demons and make them... How's it possible that those demons are comfortable in church? And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what you're trying to get. I'm trying to get at the fact that I believe in churches all over America, there are people demonized, some of them possessed, many of them oppressed by demons sitting in churches, and they never get free. They spend their whole life in bondage going to church. They never get free from the bondage that is in their life. And the reason for that is because many of us are going to churches that are so compromised that there is no conviction of the Holy Ghost in the atmosphere that will cause the demon in these people or afflicting these people to be uncomfortable. So here at the Bend, we don't want to be one of those churches. Here at the Bend, we want people who are oppressed by the devil to come into our services and want to be free because freedom is in the atmosphere. Come on, say amen to that. So Jesus rebukes him and commands him to come out of this man. And the Bible says they're all amazed. In fact, the story goes on to tell us that his fame spread abroad as a result of this miracle. So what made Jesus famous was casting a demon out of a man in church. That's what made his ministry famous. Shocking to me, right? And then we go down to Mark 1, verse 32 through 34, and this is on the same day, but now it's at nighttime, and he's doing the same thing. He's casting devils out. He's healing the sick. So here we see this pattern. From morning to night, Jesus is setting people free from demonic spirits. Then we go over to Mark chapter 1, verse 38 and 39. And look at this. He said to them, "Let us go to the next town that I can preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So Mark chapter 1, verse 39 tells us that he didn't just cast demons out of one man in one synagogue. He went to from synagogue to synagogue in every city, and every synagogue he went to, there was men or women who had demons in them. So again, what I'm trying to show you is there's this unbelievable pattern in Scripture, right? So my question is, how do demons get access to a Christian's life? How is that possible? Now again, you can't be demon possessed if you're a Christian. But you can be oppressed, tormented by evil spirits. How do demons or evil spirits get access into the lives of people? Well, today we're going to do something a little different. Because when you look at the activity of demons in the New Testament, and specifically in the epistles, it's referred to in interchangeable words, witchcraft or / sorcery. They're interchangeable words. So witchcraft is demonic activity in the New Testament. I had this thought come to me, and I want them to put it on the screen right now. Write this down. Witchcraft is the religion of the fallen nature. Now, when you got saved, you got born again. The Bible says, old things passed away, all things became new. You got born again. But how many of you know from time to time in the right circumstance, that old man that died wants to get up on the inside of you and cuss somebody out? Okay, everybody in this section right here is holy. Everybody over here is real. How many of you know that there are things that happen in your life that cause the old man to rise up? On you thought you had him totally dead. He kicked the gravestone over, got up out of the grave, and bam, there he is, right? And you find yourself having to put the old man down again. Or do what the Bible says, cast the old man off. Right? So look at me. I'm born again, but residing somewhere in the crevices of my flesh is this fallen nature that wants to revert back to my old way. Okay? Witchcraft, listen carefully now what I'm about to teach you. Witchcraft is the religion of the fallen nature. So, non-Christians, because they're driven by their fallen nature, witchcraft is their religion. Now, they'll never say that they were involved in witchcraft. In fact, I'm going to teach you something. Most witches aren't trying to curse you into hell. They don't even believe in hell. Most witches aren't even trying to talk to the devil because they don't believe in a devil as Christians do. Most pagans, when they're doing any kind of curses or seances or anything like that, they're just trying to connect with gods or goddesses that really most of them have to do with nature. They don't understand that they're connecting to a wicked spirit realm. There's only a small fraction of what we call Satanists that do that. But the great majority of pagans, that's not what they're into. But they're accessing the spirit realm nonetheless. A fallen person who's driven by their fallen nature, a lost man, witchcraft is his religion just as much as it is a pagan's religion, because that's what drives him, right? But did you know witchcraft can also be the religion of a Christian's fallen nature side? Unknowingly, we can partake in witchcraft. You say, how's that possible? Well, 1 Samuel says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Have you ever rebelled against anybody or anything? Well, guess what? Right? So, what I want you to see is as we talk about the activity of the demonic, witchcraft, the activity of the demonic in the life of the believer, is it has to have the fallen nature to work. Ooh, I'm about to teach you something. Now, there are three. Or let me just say it this way. The end goal of all demonic activity revolves around three things. The end goal. I don't care if it's in the life of the believer or the life of the unbeliever. Number one, manipulation. All witchcraft starts with manipulation. All witchcraft starts with manipulation. Then it goes into intimidation. It wants to get you to operating in the spirit of fear. So it starts with manipulation, then it gets into intimidation. And then watch this, when it gets deep enough into intimidation, it moves into the realm of domination. It starts dominating your life. So in the life of the believer, what that does is it ends up manipulation, the enemy enticing you to do something you know is contrary to the word of God, living in a way that's not according to the dictates of Scripture. It starts with manipulation. If you eat this, you will not surely die. Right? Manipulation. But then after you take the bite of it, it says, you know what? Now you're mine. You're going to do what I want you to do. And it starts intimidating you. And shame and guilt sets in on your life. And if you don't deal with it, eventually it'll get into domination. This is where the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 10, strongholds develop in the life of the believer. This is the end game of all demonic activity. I don't care if it's for the lost people or Christian people. Jesus said the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Domination or manipulation, intimidation, domination. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
All right. Now, with that said, I want to teach you something. All witchcraft will manifest itself in three areas. Number one. First of all, spiritual power, wicked spiritual power. We know in the Bible, according to Numbers chapter 22, verses 10 and 11, Numbers 22, verse 17, there is such a thing as spells and curses that can be placed on people. So there is, look at me, there is a spiritual side to wickedness. Do you know right now, not tonight, but tomorrow night, at sundown, do you know why witches, warlocks, and pagans are doing their rituals at that time? Do you know why they're doing it close to midnight? Because at that time, the veil between the earth realm and the spirit realm is supposedly at the thinnest that it's ever going to be. So you can contact and operate in the realm of the spirit at that time more than any other time in the year. Now, there'll be people posting, doing spells and potions and all kinds of crazy stuff. So we know that witchcraft does have a dynamic of spiritual black magic or black power to it. The Bible also says that in this realm of spiritual power is divination. Now, divination is trying to access knowledge apart from God. Right? Divination. Trying to access knowledge apart from God. For example, fortune telling. Reading horoscopes. Folks, all of this is forbidden in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 17. I am amazed at the amount of Christians who entangle themselves with trying to get knowledge apart from God or apart from the Word of God. And then there's this area of sorcery with under spiritual power. Now, sorcery, what this does is it uses objects and potions and chants, music, etc., to place curses on people. To watch now, to look, manipulate, intimidate, and then eventually dominate. So one of the reasons I don't celebrate Halloween, and you got to make your own choice, but I don't celebrate Halloween, is it's all about fear, it's about death, it's about wickedness, it's about ghosts and goblins and demons, and it is not something that I celebrate because I'm not going to partake of that. I believe that when I do, according to the Bible, I'm not even to look at it. That's what the Bible says. So I don't partake of it. But that's just one aspect where witchcraft can come into the life of the believer. Here's the second aspect, religion. Uh-oh. Now, according to your Bible, in Galatians chapter 3, anything that obscures the cross of Christ or the message of the redemptive work of Christ, anything that obscures it is witchcraft. According to your Bible, everybody listen right here real close. According to your Bible in the book of Galatians, anything that causes you to try to work your way into right relationship with God is called witchcraft. Did you know that? So legalism is witchcraft. It's just disguised, come on now, as what? I can't hear you, as what? It's disguised as religion. So watch now. We could go to churches, but listen, going to church don't make you a Christian. No more than going to McDonald's makes you a Happy Meal. Going to Taco Bell don't make you a burrito. Going to Cane don't make you a chicken tender. Going to Panera Bread don't make you good soup. Going to Logan's don't make you a steak. And going to church don't make you a Christian. The only thing that makes you a Christian is surrendering your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, what we have is we have all of these religions that say these are the things you've got to do to be right with God, when the truth is the only thing you have to do to be right with God is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and His redemptive work upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And anything that obscures that, according to Galatians chapter 3, is witchcraft. And then there's this segment. Oh, this is going to make some people mad. All right, this is going to be one of those honey type moments in church. When Christians' honeys get tight. All right. Charismatic witchcraft. I've watched Christians use the gifts of the Spirit to watch, manipulate, intimidate, and dominate people. I've watched Christians who thought they were being used by the Holy Ghost, used by an evil spirit, give false words of prophecy over people's life because they were trying to manipulate them to do something they wanted them to do, intimidate them, and eventually dominate them. How do you think Jim Jones got his power? Jim Jones literally started out working in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and having miracles in his church, and eventually he used it to try to manipulate the people. This is the reason, listen to me, I will never have anybody in this church who manipulates people into giving. I'll never have people in this church who manipulate you to do an altar call a certain way. I want you to respond to Jesus because the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. And let me just go a step further. I have no desire to be the voice of the Holy Ghost in your life. I've heard about churches in town, and I've seen other churches where they're in something called the shepherding movement, where the pastor's got to tell you who you can marry, when you can marry them, if you could buy a car, how much money you could spend, where you could buy a house, if you were qualified for ministry. Listen, I don't want to be the Holy Ghost in your life. I want to be pastor, but you need the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you need the Holy Ghost to teach you and show you all things. This is the reason every Christian must learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why? Because one of the ways witchcraft can work is through religion. Well-meaning people. Through religion. All right, here's where it gets rough. This is where the rubber meets the road. Christian, you ready for this one? I don't know if you're ready for this one. Yeah. You ready for this one? I don't know if you're ready for this one. Deborah, you ready for this one? All right. Y'all ready for the third area witchcraft works in the life of the believer? The works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. Now, this is the one that Christians have the least understanding on. Let me read to you Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19 through 20. In fact, why don't everybody get it in your Bible? It's not going to be on the screen. Galatians chapter 5. Everybody turn over there. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19. We're talking about avenues, ways. See, the Bible says in Proverbs, a curse without a cause cannot come. Can't come. So if the demonic has access to my life as a believer, I've done something somewhere. Could be a relationship, whatever. I've opened a doorway for it. But let me show you a way the demonic gets into most believers' life. Galatians 5, are y'all there? Yes. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, unclean. You do realize he's writing this to a church, right? Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery. What did I tell you another word for sorcery is? Witchcraft. Anybody got the King James Version in here? What does it say? Witchcraft. It says witchcraft. Witchcraft, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I've told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of the primary ways, watch this now, the devil comes in, or demonic activity comes into the life of the believers. And this is how I think the man sitting in church got his, is through the works of the flesh. He could not get his fallen nature under control. And witchcraft is the religion of the fallen nature. Listen to me. When the Word of God says something, hand me your Bible there. When one of these 66 books tells you something, look at me. God does not really care what you think about it. He does not care what your opinion is. He don't care how you feel about it. I don't know if you know this. He wrote this long before you were here, and He did not consult you. So if this book tells you something, God means what He says. Has nothing to do with love. Has nothing to do with it. This has to do with God knows what's best for the human being. Right? I was helping Adam try to find him a car the other day, and I was thinking about this. When God created the Ford Explorer that Adam bought, not God, when Ford created it, they designed that vehicle to work a certain way. Everything in that vehicle has a purpose. They don't put nothing in that vehicle they don't want to have in that vehicle. You know why? Because it costs them more than they want to spend. And their goal is to make money on it. So if there's something in that vehicle, it's there and it has a purpose for being there. And if you want to know how to use that vehicle appropriately, how to take care of that vehicle, how to maintenance that vehicle, how to get the most out of that vehicle, then what you do when you get home, if you're like me, you get an owner's manual or you go YouTube it, right? And you watch every video about every function of that vehicle because everything was created for a purpose. Listen to me. This is the owner's manual. For the human race, you were created with a divine purpose. Everything in your life has a function and an order to it. Everything from your sexuality down to your psychotic state. And if you don't do it God's way, you open yourself up for the demonic, because witchcraft is the religion of the fallen nature. You say, well, it's not a big deal. I know it's not a big deal right now. But it always starts with manipulation. And it always ends up in intimidation. And then it always ends up in domination. Listen, it always, the thief comes in to steal, to kill, and destroy. What scripture is that in? John what? John 10:10, the thief comes in to steal, to kill, and destroy. Say it out loud. The thief comes in to steal, to kill, and destroy. Spirit of Revelation's on me right now. Here's the problem with that scripture. That ain't the devil. Go look at it. John chapter 10, verse number 1. He calls the Pharisees. In other words, he said it's religion that comes in to steal, to kill, and destroy. The greatest destroyer of the human race is religion that has convinced man that he can make himself right with God. And it has convinced man that he can do what he wants to, how he wants to. Listen, I'm telling you, it's a lie from the pit of hell. If you want to be free, you get a relationship with Jesus Christ. You get into the Word of the living God, and you find out how to live your life, and you'll find out that God created you to thrive, not survive. Now, let me show you what religion does. Can we go to the Jeremiah scriptures? Everybody close your Bible. Close your Bible. I'm done. That's the best 15 minutes of teaching I've ever done in my life. Jeremiah, throw it up. This is Jeremiah chapter 6. Look at this scripture. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there's no peace. It's talking about the children of Israel in bondage. And they have healed my hurt slightly, Same thing is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 8. Look at it. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Can I tell you what I see in church? Seen it all my life. Seen it all my life. I've seen people come to the altar and get saved. Radically get saved. I believe they had an encounter with God. The problem is when they walked out of here, they thought everything in their life was perfect. Right? Only to go out there in the world and realize there's still some baggage that they're carrying. Trauma, emotional hurt, pain. Is everything going off? Listen to me. Is everything going off? Is that what this is? No. This ain't only important. That's demonic is what that is. People come in and get saved. They give their life to Christ. And then they walk out of here and they're just as bound as they were, other than their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For example, how many people have I canceled through the years that gave their life to Christ, walked out of here, went back home, and still fight like cats and dogs as husband and wives because they've never... Listen, one of them got hurt in a relationship. The other one got hurt in a relationship. Now they've ended up in a new relationship, and both of them brought the demons from their past relationship into this new... And they don't even know why they're fighting. And here's what we do in church. Well, just come to the altars, and we just pray over you, you know. The problem is we heal you slightly. But God don't want to just heal you. God wants to make you whole. There were 10 lepers who came to Jesus. All of them had leprosy. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody with leprosy. Fingers falls off. Noses fall off. Ears fall off. You lose things with leprosy. 10 lepers came to Jesus. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they turned and went, they were all healed. Everybody say they were all healed. One came back to give him thanks. One said, I got to go back and tell that dude thank you. He comes back and says, Lord, thank you. And the Lord says, where's the other 9? Weren't there 10? Weren't there 10? And he said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Watch. 9 got healed of leprosy, but only one man got everything that the devil took from his life back. He got his nose back, his fingers back, his ear back. God don't want you just to be healed. He wants you to be whole. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. God wants you whole. He wants your whole life to thrive, because you were made for it. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God is not a barely get by God. His name is not El Get By, it is El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. God wants you whole. Say this, say, God wants me whole. Say it again, say, God wants me whole. Say this, say, God wants me to thrive. Father, in the name of Jesus. In this room today are people who have been healed slightly. Some of them been in church their whole life. And Lord, they're saved. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But they're dealing with demonic activity in their house. They're dealing with warfare. They're dealing with spiritual stuff they ought not be dealing with, because they've only been healed slightly. My prayer today over everybody in this room, and when they walk out of here, they'll be whole. They'll be whole. If it means they got to go get counseling to be whole, then so be it. If it means they got to go to a doctor to be totally whole, then so be it. Whatever it takes to get them completely 100% whole, so that they can thrive and not just survive. This is your will for their life. Now I rebuke every adversary in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every demonic force that is attacking people and families under the sound of my voice. You foul, unclean, imps of hell itself that was sent to divide, to destroy, to steal, and to kill. In the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, I arrest you in this place. I bind you in this place off of their life, off of their family, off their spiritual walk, off their finances, off of their physical bodies. I bind every unclean spiritual force in the name of Jesus. And right now, I loose the healing power of God. I loose the delivering power of God. I loose the freeing power of God. I loose the prosperity power of God, the power of God that will bless them. I speak freedom to every soul. It's freedom to every soul. I don't have to live in bondage. You have come to set me free. I'm going to be free because you have made me free. I refuse to let the enemy control my life. He's not going to manipulate me anymore. He's not going to intimidate me anymore. I have not been given the spirit of fear. He's not going to dominate my life or my children's life or my marriage or my family anymore. In the name of Jesus, I draw a line in the sand today. In the name of Jesus, I stand up as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus, I stand up in the authority of God's word and the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm taking my life back because Jesus came to set me free. Come on, stand with me all over this room. Come on, open your mouth and begin to love on the Lord. Open your mouth and begin to love on the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. I'm free today. I'm free today. If you're in here and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, it's easy. The Bible says, call upon me and I'll answer you. If you don't know Jesus, just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, deliver me. I'm going to ask right here in this atmosphere, my prayer team, come real quickly. Come real quickly. Prayer team, come quickly. Come on. I want everybody to look right here. 2,000 years ago, Jesus dealt with the sin of humanity on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Freedom starts at the born again experience. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, you cannot be free until you get born again. And the born-again experience is simple. There's no religion attached to it. The Bible says if man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, he can be born again. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The whole church family is going to say this prayer out loud with you. I'm going to give you the words, but only you can give it meaning. And when we pray this prayer, if you don't know Jesus, you pray it from right here. I'm not talking about from your head. I'm talking about from down deep inside. You just pray it. Say, Lord, I know you're the Son of God. I know it. So I want everybody, every head bowed in this room. This is the first thing we're going to do today. Every head bowed in this room. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus died for you. He's alive right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's calling your name at the right hand of the Father while you're sitting in this building today. He's made a way for you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody gets to the Father except through Him. If you believe that, I want to invite you to pray this. And church family, pray this with them. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sin. And I believe that you arose from the grave. So today, I give you my life. I surrender to you everything, all my weaknesses and all my strengths, everything I have and everything I don't, I give it to you. And I invite you now, sir, to be the Lord of my life. I promise you today that I will serve you. So forgive me of all my sin and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now let me tell you something. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, I believe that Jesus right now and in heaven is writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to welcome you to the greatest family in the universe, the family of the living God. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, in just a moment, I'm going to open this altar area. This is just an area we do business with God. And if you prayed that prayer, I want you to come to one of these people and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. And we're just going to pray faith over you and give you something to help you with your walk with God. But the second person that I want to talk to in here is people that are in this room. And you kind of almost feel like the man in the synagogue. You love the Lord. You're in church this morning for the right reasons. But there's an area in your life that just is not free. And you really want to be free in that area. If that's you, I want you to get out of your seat. I'm getting ready to dismiss everybody in this room. And listen, I don't want us to talk in here. Go to the cafe or talk out on the front porch. I don't want to talk in here. We're getting ready to do business here. But if you need prayer, don't you dare walk out of this room and carry that bondage out with you. If you need prayer, the Lord's here to set you free. Totally free. And we want to do life with you and we want to pray with you. So Father, right now I bless everybody in this room. And Lord, for those that are about to leave, may they have the greatest week they've ever had in their life. I decree over there the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and that your blessing is on their life. But for those in this room today that are struggling, today when we get in these altars, help us to do business and let total freedom come in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, listen, I'll see you tomorrow night at the property. You invite some friends and family. But if you need prayer, instead of going that way, come this way and let us pray over you. Last service, we had a whole altar full of people. So I know there's people in here that need prayer. Get out of your seat. Come on right now. If you don't need prayer, you can be dismissed and we'll see you tomorrow night.